Welcome to the Valley Outdoors. Glad to have you guys with us this week. I've got a lot of fun stories, I think, this week. We got Ava in the house as well.
How's it going?
Don will be here shortly. I don't know where he's wandering.
He's gallivanting, but he's here.
He got lost, exactly. And me, Eric. So we are all here. We are going to be contributing to an absolutely phenomenal show. You guys need to hang out for it. And so that's what makes Valley Outdoors interesting. Us. And you guys, thanks for hanging out. We'll be right back with more Valley Outdoors. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference. Welcome, Ava. Don, how's things?
We're all here.
Here, yeah.
Ava, big buck killer.
Yeah, thanks.
The family did well.
We did. Yes.
Big time.
Yeah. You know, this is the second season hunting that land. Last year, didn't get one. And then now all three of us got one. On opening.
Triple header.
Morning.
Well, my husband was Monday.
Okay.
And then I
got one in the morning.
I got one in the evening, Saturday. And then he got his on Monday. And his was a monster. So worth the wait. Haven't scored it yet. Mine was only a 95.
Oh. did they score your dad's?
He will. See, they got to get the head back.
Yep.
And that's what we're waiting for. So I'll fill you in next week.
Okay. Sounds good. I'm still waiting on mine.
Didn't pull it?
Didn't pull that trigger? I didn't pull the trigger. I had three of them in my sights, but I just decided to hold off.
That's all right. You got time.
Oh, yeah.
I opted to go fishing.
One. All right. Well, that doesn't surprise me. When was the last time you went hunting?
Oh, pheasant hunting?
No, I mean deer hunting.
Oh, you've been archery about a year ago.
Archery?
Yeah.
Have you done gun opener? Oh,
many years. Did it with my dad. We go up to Spider Lake, Grand Rapids.
Okay.
We go up there, go hunting a lot. But then we went out west, and that... I don't know. Have you guys hunted out west before?
No.
Elk? Yeah.
Yes.
Did you get a tag one?
No, I did not.
It's the most bizarre thing, I have to say. If anybody that's hunted out west kind of understands, in Minnesota perspective, you've got trees, you've got distances, you can kind of get a handle on range, right?
Yep.
You go out to Montana or Wyoming, big sky. Well, the big sky makes a big difference. So my dad, he and I were out hunting with a couple other guys who were out in the field and having a lunch break. And we were guessing distances. I had a rangefinder I brought with. And he says, don't pull the rangefinder out. I want you to throw a rock. Do you think you can hit that rock outcropping over here? Yeah, no problem. Grab the rock. I throw it, and I throw pretty far.
Yeah, maybe halfway.
Maybe halfway.
Yeah.
So it's perspective on distance.
Yeah, it's very
absolutely
deceiving.
Blew me away.
Yeah.
You're thinking something that's a couple hundred yards. It's like 475. And you got to be kidding me. You know, so you're having to calculate some calculations. But, we were talking about it before we started today. And how many people you hear, oh, I shot at a running deer at 400 yards. I'm like, why?
Yeah, why?
Why are you doing that? That's just, I don't care how good you are.
Well, your odds of success are so low, and your odds of, even if you wound them, your odds of getting a good shot is pretty nil.
It is, and that's one of those things where, okay, now you're going to stress everybody in the hunt group because you decided to take a shot that was not good just to try and get one, especially a mule deer. I don't know if you ever watched a mule deer run.
Oh, yeah, they hop.
Yep. It's a Peter Rabbit program.
Yep.
And that's the sad part about it. But invariably, you will have that scenario comes up and you can't get a shot or something happens. Maybe the bullet hits a twig or deflects or your scope was off.
My scope was off, yes, so I didn't.
And it doesn't take much.
No.
If you bump it or,
yeah,
you know, somehow it gets knocked out of in, you know, being sighted in, it can be a major issue. So, but one of the things I thought was kind of funny, us going through different articles, and I thought, you know what? We had enough stories about people that were having to track deer. 4 tips for tracking wounded deer.
Okay. I
thought it was a good thing. And it doesn't matter whether you're a bow hunter or a rifle hunter or a slug hunter, you're going to have that scenario that comes up. And maybe it's a pass-through shot, which happens where you get it in the lungs. It just doesn't take much to be off a little bit. So obviously that is a disappointment to say the least. So number one, watch your shot. This happened a lot in pheasant hunting. We had people at the lodge. They'd shoot and they wouldn't watch where the bird went down, and they'd just start going on the next bird. It's like, wait a minute, you need to figure out where that bird was. In this case, watch where the shot was, keep track of the shot, where it hit the animal. That's important as well. A lot of people are, I don't know where it hit it, or I know I hit it, and you come to find out it grazed it or didn't hit it at all. So it's important in the tracking, because if you shot really badly, completely missed the mark, the deer could go a long way, and that's a big issue too, chasing it. If you hit a vital area, you're likely not to have it travel too far. Your deer, right, Ava?
Yep.
And plenty of deer will drop quickly, if not on the spot.
I actually got a story about that. Back in the 70s when I was hunting, we shot a deer, and we caught up with it 4 miles later. And we're very fortunate to find it, and it was still alive.
I think a tough part about that too is that the adrenaline in the meat, it makes it taste a little funky when it's that hard.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
No, waiting game. This is an important one, and it follows into the what we were talking about, Don. When you shoot a deer and it takes off, the first thing a lot of times you want to do is, hey, get the guys together. We got to go after it. But that is the last thing. A pushed deer can travel much farther because adrenaline gets after it. Most other times it'll lay down, bed down, and hang
expire,
out and expire right there. Wait 30 minutes at least before you start going after
it. Yeah, it took Dustin's a long time.
To find it?
Yeah. Well, no for it to pass.
Yep.
He said a prayer for it, you know, because he had to stand there. And,
yeah.
But thankfully it did not get back up, but he gave it plenty of room and time. So
again, blood trail. Finding a blood trail, extremely important, even when the shot of vital organs can take a while to start bleeding heavily. So understand that. And if you find those small drops of blood, stay on the trail. You're likely to encounter more blood. You can also get clues to the animal type of blood you're seeing. Greenish blood is likely a stomach hit. Pinkish blood, it will be a lung shot. Dark blood means liver. And if the blood is bright red, that means it was not hit in a vital organ. It's good to mark the areas where you find blood. It helps you determine where the deer has been and where it might be going. So mark it with a pink, like a ribbon or that material you could tie so you can come back and track it the next morning. So important pieces and parts, and understanding the wounded deer action as well, similar patterns, etc. Not 100% certainty, but understand that. All right, we're going to be back with more Valley Outdoors right after this.